Okay, it is 6 o'clock, and we are in Kofi Beis Amin Aleph. We are up to the two dots, which is about two-thirds of the way down the narrow lines. Hakreim Oisev Eskala Sheba. Destroy everything and anything that's in it. Tata Gemara Tana Rabbana. Hakreim Oisev, the God takes out the words Eskala Sheba. Katla Nixte Tzadikim Shebechut Floretz. Oisa, it could have just said Hakreim. What's Hakreim Oisa? So we say it's to exclude that you only do what's in it, that the Nixte Tzadikim that are out of it. Truth is, had you stopped right here, you would have said only things that are in it, not anything that's out of the city. But since there's going to be other Psukim, so we're going to put it together, it's going to end up as follows, that the Tzadikim, the people that don't get killed, the people that didn't serve a Avodah Zarah, their property depends if it's located in the city or not. So you exclude from the word Isa that the nechasim of the righteous people out of town does not get destroyed. You don't bring it into the city to be destroyed. Once you not make a mistake and exclude the righteous people possessions in the city, so the pasuk says it's kolah shaba. Anything in that city gets destroyed, including Nixay Tzadikim. Let's catch up with Rashi. Akram Eishah brought the Nixay Tzadikim from Chutzalot. Last Rashi in the first column. Shehoi Tzadikim Dor, B'Tayichim Tzadikim, were living in it. V'Avlu Nechastim of Kodim B'Mokim Achab Yadacherim, and they had property that was entrusted to other people. Hey, Machrim and Eishah, we do not destroy it. Avlu Nechastim Sheshlam B'Oishah, but the property they have in that city, Machrim and Eishah, we do destroy it. The time before Shlom Kaman, the reason will be explained later on. Back to the Gemara, Shlalom. Shlala means itzvuri, not something that belongs to Hegdish. That is not destroyed. That's kol shlala. The rabbis mixed the Risham Shechutzla. Kol shlala, the extra kol, tells me that includes all the nechasim that are out of it. That are outright. Now Rashi has a different gersa. Rashi has, if you skip the Rashi Amar of Shimon and you go to the next one, Halchi Gersin Amar Marv is Kol Asherbah, the Rabbis Nichsei Rishoam Shemachutz Floretz. Rashi learns the fact that this is Kol Asherbah, right? From Kol Asherbah we learned before, the Nichsei Tzadikim Shemataycha, that could have been from Mas Asherbah. Kol Asherbah, Rashi learns, is to include the Nichsei Rishoam Shemachutz Floretz, that Rishoam's properties that are outside the city are brought to town. The Gemara will elaborate on this a little later. Now, our Gersin in the Gemara is a little different. Argues that the Gemara is kol shlala. Again, it's in the word kol that we include that if Rishoyim, the people that get killed are called Rishoyim, their wives, their children, their property, even if it's out of town, is brought into town and destroyed together with the city. Now, as we will learn later on, it's not all their property, it's only some of their property. The Gemara will give you the parameters as we go along. Why did the Torah say that the Nixtei Tzadikim in it should be destroyed? Why do people choose to live in a city that turns into Eir Nidachas? Why did the Tzadikim skip town? I mean, you see the people around you, get out of here. The answer is, they have money connections and they can't leave. They can't leave, they end up living in a city like that. Therefore the Torah says that their money gets destroyed as well. This is Reb Shimon that always darshens time of the craw. He always tries to figure out the reasoning behind the pasuk, and this is his reasoning. Rashi, Amar Reb Shimon, Leimah b'chol duchti darsh Reb Shimon time of the craw. Shimon is always the one that's darshening the reason of the pasuk. Amar Mar, v'skol shlola tigvayt, v'rabbis nixti risham shebechutzvah. Right, it says kol shlala tigvayt. That comes to include the properties of Rishoyim that are out of the city. Amar Rav Chizda ubenigbatzim l'taycha. Now, is a machlokes how to learn this Rashi that we're going to be reading now. Rashi says two things, and the question is: does he hold that nigbatzim l'taycha encompasses both, or is it two pshatim in Rashi? The Marshal understood Rashi as one pshat, and the Rashi is saying nigbatzim l'taycha needs two things: one, that it once has been in this city. It once was in this city parameters. And two, it can still make it back on the day that we paskin the Eir Nidachas. That's when the sides destroy the Eir Nidachas. Anything that can make it back by that day, which is usually as soon as Bezim paskins, as fast as we can get there, that's destroyed. Anything that was never in the city, or anything that's too far away to make it back in time, is not destroyed. That's how Rashi, according to the Marshal, Rashi learns b'nigbatzim l'taycha means two different meanings. One, that the item had been in the city once upon a time, if it never was in the city limits, if it was never within the city parameters, it never could become usur, even though it belongs to Rishayim. That means if a Russia would buy a car in a different city, that car never made it to the Ir Nidachas, never saw the airspace of the Ir Nidachas, would not be included. And even if the car did see the airspace of the Ir Nidachas, but if it's 150 miles away, which cannot be given, we're talking about those days, could not be brought in the same day to destroying the Ir Nidachas, it would be saved. So there are two conditions of the Gbatsim L'Toycha, according to the way the Marshal understands Rashi. The Marshal puts in a Lishna Achrina, and he says Rashi is offering you two separate pshatim. Only one of the two are true. Pick and choose between two pshatim. Either the pshat is that has to make it here today, or the pshat is that once had to have been here, even if it can't make it here today, we still would go out and destroy it. So that's the machloek. According to the Marshal, Rashi is not saying two halachas. Rashi is saying one, but he gives you two pshatim in what that halacha would be. That's the machloek. This Marshal and Marshal had to learn the Rashi that we're going to read right now. Let's read it. So Rashi, Amar Rav Chizda ben Gbasim L'Toycha, Nichsei B'Shoam HaKroivim L'Yer. So Rashi first says this thing, that Nichsei B'Shoam that are close to the city, Shechayvim L'Katsim L'Toycha Yer, that you can gather it into the city, B'Aisi Yom Asmai, in the same day, Shekain Tishlal Yer L'Chayv, that we take all the booty of the city into the square, L'Sarfam. Hey Nabudim Ima, they're the ones that are destroyed with the city. Those that are too far away that will not reach the city of that day, they do not get destroyed with the city. That's number now. According to the Marshal, you add a new shot here, Lishna Achrina. According to the Marshal, it's the continuation. It's only if this was once in the city. Now they're entrusted somewhere else. If it was never there, it fell by Yerusha, meaning they inherited property somewhere else. They never had the property in this city. So you have a choice here whether you're learning or Rashi learns. You need two halachas, or one or the other. Depends if you learn like the Marshal or the Marshal, whether you add the word Lishna Achrina here or not. Now, in other Rishayim, some say one of the two, and some say the other of the two. So it is a Machlokes Rishayim, regardless. The question is whether Rashi is putting both together, or Rashi is giving you two pshatim. Do you add the word Lishna Achrina? Do you not add the word Lishna Achrina? That seems to be Machlokes Marshal or Marshal.
I'm reading through Rashi that either somebody else, I don't know what it exactly means.
Well,
it doesn't say that it was somewhere else. It says it was in the hands of others, or it was the Arush of others. It seems like somebody else was possessing it.
Well, let me explain this. Most people do not leave their items unless somebody is watching them. If you own a car and you want it, and you have it in California, somebody is watching your car in California. That's Mufkid Liyad Achayrim.
And the
Yerusha part is how else would a person own a car in California? If he lives in the East Coast, why does he have a car in California? He must have yashened it in California and never brought it here. We're trying to figure out, Rashi's giving you practical cases of a guy having property out of town. A, somebody's watching it. B, how did he acquire it? If it never was here, why is it his? If a person lives here, doesn't he have his possessions with him? Why would he be owning something across the world? Remember, they did not have jets that flew the guy across, that he had three houses and he went from one house to the other. It's not what happened in those days. So why does he have property somewhere else? He yarshened it somewhere else. He had a cousin that left him in Yerusha, and that's where it is. Rashi is just giving you a practical piece of information.
About tzaddikim,
only the stuff that's in here, not the stuff that's out of the city, even if it was once in the city, or even if it can make it back that day.
Because
we have a gzeres hakasef that said hakrim oisa. Oisa was a limitation, and we use the limitation for that. Yes.
When is that?
By the way, just as an aside, using Reb Shimon's explanation, it makes perfect sense. The tzaddik does not stay in town because of the possessions he has out of town. Right, we're burning the tzaddik's possessions, which we say the tzaddik's possessions is what kept him here. That's the possessions he had here, not the possessions he has elsewhere. He's not staying in city A because he has possessions in city B. So it makes sense logically as well. But there's a question.
Yeah.
Shimon gives you the time of the cross. Yes.
How long can the tzaddik still truck his things out of town before they have to get?
Once the psak came that it's irni dachas, it's gone. Can't truck anything.
But they have to go to Yerushalayim and all.
Right. So I mean, if he's moves quickly, as soon as they're on the way to Yerushalayim, he gets it out of here. Correct. It's l'chayra when the psak didn't happen. But it's not so simple to truck things out of town. We're used to Mayflower. I'm sorry. Shogats are moving trucks. But the...
Sure, the whole city should know that.
I understand. That's why he said it. I'm sorry. But in those days, moving with out of town was not an easy... Where are you going? Where are you taking it to? Who's going to watch it? Where are you going to put it? I mean, it's not something that, you know, was so easy to do. Yeah, well, I'm just saying. It's not easy. Right, they didn't have two camels, correct. That's the Gemara Vayta. Amar Rav Chisda, Pigdaina shel Anshe Ir HaNidachas Mutarim. The entrusted items of the Anshe Ir HaNidachas, we don't know what this means yet, it's a generic sentence, doesn't mean anything to us yet, are Mutar. Hechidami, what is the case? Ilem at the Ir HaCheres V'Isnu B'Gagah. Is it that this item belongs to people from a different city? They happen to be located in the Ir HaNidachas. A person of the Ir HaNidachas is watching it. That would be Pigdainos Shel Anshi Ir HaNidachas. Things that the people of the Ir HaNidachas are watching. Shita the Mutar. Of course they're Mutar. Lav Shvalu. Doesn't belong to the people of the Ir HaNidachas. Why would I think you burn it? It doesn't belong to anybody here. The Torah said burn its booty. This is not its booty. Somebody has something in this city that's being watched by somebody. Doesn't make it its booty. So why would I need a pasuk? Why would I need Rav Chisda to tell me this? Ela d'dub istu b'yeracheres. The answer is, they own items that are located in a different city, and we're saying that that's mutter. Well, the question is, idin igbatsum l'tayicham ay mutarim, v'mein igbatsum l'tayicham rechad azimna. If we can make it back that day, why is it mutter? Didn't we just learn that if they show him, even if it's out of town, if it can be brought back, it should be brought back? And if it can't make it back, he already said it. Why would Rav Chisda repeat himself twice? He already told us that halacha. Why is he saying it again? So the Gemara like the Ilam, the Ir Acheres, the Mifkidi B'Taycha. It's someone else's possessions that are located in the Ir Nidachas. The Halacha B'Mayaskinang and Gekibul Alei Achrayas. The case is talking about that the people of the Ir Nidachas accepted responsibility for the item. If something happens to the item, they have to pay it back. Ma'al the Teima Kibul the Kibul Alei Achrayas Kidei Dami. Since they are responsible, in a certain sense, it belongs to them. They have interest in this money. It means a lot to them, because if something happens, they have to pay up. Kamash Malan, it's still not theirs. And therefore, it does not get burned. Rashi? Ela d'hu, the Bnei Yer Nidachas, Mufkadim Hem V'Yer Acheres, they're entrusted to a different city. Ha'amar Rav Chisda, B'Nigbatsim L'Teicha, V'Hayin Nigbatsim, this is not gathered. The Kibul Alei Achrayis, Bnei Yer Nidachas. People of Yer Nidachas accepted Achrayis. So the Taisus HaRash over here has a question from the Gemara Mesachim. The Gemara Mesachim says that if a guy gives a guy's chametz does not have to be destroyed on Pesach. I have to destroy my chametz. All Yidden have to destroy their chametz on Pesach, or sell it, or get rid of it in one way or another. And if a guy has chametz, it's not my headache. If a guy gives me chametz to watch, so the halacha is as follows. If I tell the guy I am not responsible for it, then I don't have to touch it. I have to put it in a place where I'm not accessed, where I can't access it. What we do when we sell our chametz, we put up something to mark it off as a place that we don't go to on Pesach, right? We put a tape or a string, or we tie it up. We do something to take it away from us, but I'm not responsible for it. It's not my chametz anymore. It's the guy's chametz. But if something happens to it, I have to reimburse the guy, then I'm mechuyev to destroy it because it's considered mine. That's what the Gemara says in Pesachim. So the Gemara in Pesachim clearly states that by chametz, if you're responsible, even though it's not yours, it's considered yours. In fact, the Taisus HaRash, why is this different? Why, when it comes to Ir Nidachas, do we say that even though the person Ir Nidachas is responsible if something happens to it, it's not considered his? And by chametz, if he's responsible for what happens to it, even though it belongs to a guy, he has to get rid of it on Pesach. He better give it back to the guy, but if he has it in his property, it's chayiv and bir chametz. What's the difference? It's not his. He's responsible. Either you consider it his or you don't consider it his. But why do we make a difference between Ir HaNidachas and Chametz? So many different answers are said. The Taisus Rush, I'm sorry, I don't want to attribute this to the Taisus Rush. It might be the Taisus Chaim that says this. That the purpose over here is to punish owners of possessions. Part of the punishment is that we destroy them and their possessions. Whereas this person who lives out of town, they gave up a cousin, why should he be punished? Chametz is not a punishment. The Torah says, chametz has got to be gotten rid of. If the Yid has achrayas on it, it's considered a Jew, it's got to get rid of it. We're not trying to punish the guy. We're not, I'm sorry? Gavra cheft. Right. That Shana is the purpose of the chametz is the cheft. The chametz has got to go. Belongs to a Jew somewhat, it's got to go. Here it's a punishment aspect. Therefore, since it's a punishment aspect, therefore, we're out to punish the people that live in the city. We're not out to punish other people. And therefore, if we're going to destroy it, other people are taking the loss. The owner.
No, but he's
dead. He's dead. That's not true. He was Makabo Achrayas on a regular basis before he became an Eri Zachas. He's been watching this for 6 months. And if something would happen to him, to get stolen or lost or ruined, he'd be obligated to pay.
Wouldn't his family take responsibility?
His family is not responsible for his arise, no. You know, in American law, it's the same. A person has a credit card, and it's on his name, and he dies, nobody has to pay the bill. What's it called? It's an unguaranteed, unsecured loan. No unsecured loan has to be covered by anybody else. Only secured loan. It's not a secured loan. It's an unsecured loan. Yes? Yeah, Bezen goes in there and audits it, correct. So exactly what happens.
As you're being pulled into the dock.
First they kill them and then they burn their stuff.
Yeah, but you have to determine which is their stuff and which stuff is outside the realm of to be destroyed. When do you do it as part of
the... No, they do it after the psak din, after they carry out the execution.
So you have to ask the person about the belongings.
Well, they will ask, you know, they'll ask the person.
They have to ask before they...
Well, I guess, you know, how long does it take to ask? I mean, they're not going to, you know, remember, we're dealing, today it would be much more complicated. In those days, they're very limited belongings, and the cities weren't as big, and therefore these things didn't take as long.
I mean, the guy would have a reason not to tell the truth about how he would want his family, if they weren't there, to get his property.
I have no idea, honestly. I don't know how practically it worked. I just do think the Gemara talks about Babasha about size of houses. The Gemara then comes out that a house that's like 20 some feet by 20 some feet is a palace. The Gemara doesn't view that as a regular house. I mean, they lived in much smaller houses and owned a lot less stuff than we do. And therefore, it didn't take long to determine, you know, there were no cars, there were no, you know, everybody had his things. That's right, they had a goat and a cow and a...
I understand, but you could have a pile of shlugs in your house.
That's true.
You don't know who...
That's true. You're right. There had to be some kind of thing. I didn't see anybody discuss it.
First of all, I'm not so sure he would lie at this point.
Well, he might. He's still, I mean,
he's... Well, he's going, he's taking a trip. So
yeah, but he wants his kids to have money. It's his kid. He's not lying for himself. He's lying for his kids.
But he's having a gin tour with a Kosh Baruch.
That's true. Okay, again, it depends on the person.
We have recorded examples of...
Never happens. According to one man or the other, it never happens. So it's impossible to have recorded examples. Yes?
According to
one man or the other. No, one man or the other says, I said, I'll feel all right. So this machlokes is what that means. According to some, that it did happen. And according to some, it should have happened. Two ways to learn that in the Mepharshim and the Gemara. Yes?
Whether it's a debt that they have to pay back or they don't
have to pay back. Something like this. The Gemara says, the Mifkidi B'Soicha, someone else's possession that's here, and that the person of this city accepted a cry. That's what the Gemara says. In fact, they do talk about the following example. Thanks for bringing it up. The Mechaz Chinuch wants to talk about, so we said in our Gemara that if the people of the Irni Dachas had a possession elsewhere, it depends on whether they can make it back today. How about if they had an outstanding loan elsewhere? I mean, someone owed them money. Someone owed them not a tangible, no item that you could say belongs to them. But there's an outstanding debt that they could collect. Someone from a different city owes them $1,000. Now, where is, there's no $1,000 that belongs to them. So there, the Mechas Chiduch says clearly, that $1,000 would go to their children. That's not an item to be burned. It's an outstanding debt. And there's no way to, not, there's nothing to burn. It's a debt, and a debt can't be burnt. And therefore,
what kind of debt it is? Is it a debt that they accept the responsibility to pay back, or is it?
Well, every debt is responsible to pay back.
Necessarily, you could invest in somebody.
That's not a debt. That's again, that's an investment. Again, you owe something. You own something. Then there's an item you own. You invest. You own something. I mean, maybe very little, but you own something. Whereas, so the Mechas Chiduch points out the debts did go to their children because debts are not items that can be burned. He does point that out. But that's not what the Gemara is saying here. The Gemara is talking about here other people had items in their city that they were Makabo Achrayas to reimburse if something happens, and yet it's not considered Ir Nidachas material and we don't burn it. Rashi. So to Rashi, we did the Rashi. That's the Gemara bites. Amar Rav Chisda. Now, I want to point out that the next two pieces of Gemara, Rashi seems to contradict himself. And the Rishonim jump on Rashi. The Ran says he doesn't understand Rashi because Rashi seems to contradict himself. There are those that try to get out of it. I would just point out the contradiction and maybe point out one of the answers that are said. Amar Rav Chisda. V'heim v'chetzi shilir anidachas v'chetzi shilir acheres asura. If there is two people that own an animal, if the animal is located in the Ir Nidachas, it's owned by two partners. One is a resident of the Ir Nidachas, and one lives in a different city. And now, the Ir Nidachas, we have to destroy everything in here. And half this animal belongs to a person of Ir Nidachas, and half this animal does not belong to a person of Ir Nidachas. And the question is, what is the status of this animal? What do we do? So the Gemara Asura, it becomes Asur Bahana. The Ir Nidachas Sak makes this Asur Bahana. It has to be destroyed, it has to be killed. Animals are not burnt, they are killed, right? That's behemta lefichariv. We burn possessions, we kill animals with a sword. We kill people and animals with a sword, tzayef. So we have to give tzayef to this animal as well. Dough, that's half belongs, piece of dough, half that belongs to a person of another city, and half that belongs to a person of this city, is mutter. Meaning, you split it, half is mutter, half is usser. My time, the hema commanda loy pligi damya. Isa commanda pligi damya. The hema is considered a one item, cannot be split, and dough is considered splittable, and therefore we split it. Now there's many, many issues in this Gemara, but before, there's many different ways to learn this Gemara, but we'll learn Rashi's way first, because Rashi is Rashi. Dr. Rashi. The Heman commanded Loi Pligi Damya. Dr. Rashi. The Efsher, the Tzai is Basar Beloi Shchita. Because to make this animal edible, an act has to be done to the whole animal. We cannot separate and shecht to half an animal. An animal is either totally shechted or not shechted. You can't have Shchita and a half an animal. It's one unit that has to be processed, at least for the Shchita part, as one unit. Cannot say I'm shechting half and not shechting the other half. Doesn't work. And even if you were to go ahead and shecht it, it wouldn't count. This animal is not supposed to be shechted, it's supposed to be killed. And here comes the Rashi, the part that the Ram will jump on later on. You're supposed to kill it with a sword. Well, it's exactly what you just did when you shechted it. So basically, when the guy shechted it, he was doing the mitzvah of Ir Nidachas. He was killing the animal with a sword. So therefore, he did tzayev as he did shchita. And therefore, it doesn't count as a shchita. It counts as a killing on half and a shchita on the other half. You can't have a half a shchita. It's either all one shchita or no shchita. And since here, half is an act of shchita and half is an act of killing, that's the mitzvah to do, to kill the animal. Now Rashi says that he shakat l'simen the Ir Nidachas, because since half the animal is Ir Nidachas, one of the two things that have to be shechted, the trachea and the esophagus, is viewed as an Ir Nidacha Siman. And the other one is viewed as a non-Ir Nidacha Siman. So therefore, Ein Shaykhin Alamemus, Ulaymani Beishlita. So the way Rashi explains it is, that the act of shechita is a half an act of shechita and a half an act of killing. Killing is not shechita, therefore it can't work. Shechita is shechita, but since if you would be shechting, let's say a shahar niskel, so then you're not doing the mitzvah of skila, you're doing an act of shechita. So whether it makes it permissible or not, we'll talk about it a different time. But here, the act that you're doing is the act of killing that the Torah wanted done. The way the Torah wanted it done. By severing its neck. Now that's exactly what the guy is doing when he's shechting. Now, he's severing, so half of it deserves the severance, and half of it deserves shechita. So the act is a half an act of shechita, and half an act of shechita cannot make something permissible. That's what Rashi's saying. Therefore, this animal is an unshechted animal. Since it's an unshechted animal, it is usher. Yes?
But that's just assuming the only reason we're using the cow is for its meat. We could use it for its hide.
So, right. So, according to Rashi, it seems to say that there would be no Isser Hanah on half the hide. Correct. Because Rashi does not say, like others want to say, we're going to say a different reason in a moment. The Shakasari wants to say and others. But Rashi seems to say it's a lack of the act of shechita. Correct. And therefore, according to Rashi, it would only be an Isser Achila. There is no Shechita done, but there would not be an Isser Achila. Correct. That's what the Achayim do point out. The Shagas Aryeh says that the reason the bite animal is Usser is because whatever half is the Yoni Dachas, they're constantly switching. Meaning, the nutrition is going, Yang Ki Mahadadi, the Gemara says this in Beya, that they, what happens is the half that's not Yoni Dachas, the half that is Yoni Dachas, are constantly taking from each other. I don't know what the English word would be.
Exchanging.
Yanki means they suck from each other, they nurse from each other. They're nourishing from each other, that's the word I'm looking for. They're nourishing from each other. And therefore, whatever you have has nourishment from the half of Yoni Dachas in it, and therefore it'd be Asa Vano. That's what the Shagazari says. Whereas by the dough, they're not nourishing from each other. You have a piece of dough, it's dead. It's not alive. Nothing's passing from one half to the other half. Now, this gets involved in Brera. How do we figure it out? The refinement get involved. But there wouldn't be a difference, dough and an animal, in Brera. That's what Gemara says clearly in there. Yes?
But by Isha, we can say that. By Isha, we have to go on the Brera.
Yeah, the Akhrenim all asked, the Chayra was saying Brera here. And we pass can aim Brera, so how can we do this? But this is the Akhrenim
asked. The Brera, the
I don't remember what Rukhiz the holds. But they, again, I will say this, that the Achrayim are all busy here. Why isn't this dependent on Brera by the dough? And since we paskin aim Brera, we should say not. So there's all kinds of terutzim given. But we're assuming Yesh Brera for our sake. Even Yesh Brera won't help the animal. Either because Rashi says there's no act of shechita, or because the Shakasari brings the Gemara and Beya that says, Ki Yanki Mahadadi, they are providing one nourishment from each other. Yes, doctor.
So, our scroll deals briefly with the idea of a prayer on the dry, so I was going to bring that up, but you're already ducking the question, so I'll be with that. But I would point out this idea of shechita and execution is not a distinction to what was presented last week, that Judaism is a religious act.
It's contradictory.
Distinction. This is in opposition to what was presented last week, that Judaism is a religious action. The action is the same. It is in terms of the intention and the implications, but the action physically, when you look at it through a movie camera, is the same.
Right, but it doesn't have that halacha of shechita. Halacha of shechita is determined by...
Not having the halacha of shechita is determined by intention.
No, not by intention, by reality. No, it's not intention. The guy can intend whatever he wants. He's doing the act of killing the Messiah. That is what's happening.
Is there any difference in the act?
No. Except one is Chayav Sayef and one is obligated to one who gets shechita. The fact that it's Chayav Sayef makes the cutting into an act of Sayef. Nothing to do with intention. The guy could be no intention at all to do the halacha. But the fact that he's cutting it and it's supposed to be cut makes it into an act of Sayef. Without intention and without any difference in act.
Yeah, in any case, what I'm saying is not only on the term intention, but it is something, it's totally on something beyond the act in and of itself. The act.
because the act. Okay, fine. I agree with that, but I don't think it's counter distinction to what we said last week. Last week we were talking about actions versus intent. Here we're not talking about actions versus intent. It's that the same action can be defined two different ways by what's obligated, what's supposed to happen to this animal.
Everything is an exception. The exception
should not. Right. Yes, Corey.
Why can't we just sell the animal and then burn half the money and give the guy who owns half the other half?
Because once they pass in the Irani Dachas, right, we're going now with, well, if you go like Rashi, it might be a little bit of a problem. According to Rashi, you would give half the stuff to the guy and he could have an off from it. You could. According to the other shot, you can't because it's Yanki Mahadadi, meaning you can't sell this animal to Asar Bana. And since they're all nourishing from each other, the whole thing becomes Asar Bana. It would be like Basar Bakalov went into your carrots. So Basar Bakalov was Asar Bana, so now your carrots are Asar Bana and there's nothing you can do. So you can't sell anything. But according to Rashi, you're right. Rashi, that seems to say it's Mutsar Bana, would agree to you. There's different ways of getting Ana. One way would be to sell it off, and half could be, see, the half that's Asar Bana can't be sold. You can't do that. So that half would have to be destroyed. Ultimately, somebody's going to have to cut this animal in half and give half to Mutsar Bana and half Asar Bana. Yes?
Question about your Shor HaNisgul that was shafted.
Right. It's Asar Bana, but it's not. See, it's going to be negated in the next line of Gemara. That's why I said we'll wait for it in a second.
We learned earlier that if somebody is Chayav Misa, you can't give him the death he deserves, any death works. Why doesn't that just work as.
Because you could give him the death he deserves.
But it wasn't done.
They didn't do it. That's because he can't do it. But that's not the Misa he's supposed to be getting. So that does not make it a non active Shrita.
Wouldn't supersede. Okay, the animal's killed.
The animal's killed, but it's not the way it was supposed to be killed, so we cannot say that this act is an act of killing as opposed to an act of shchita. Because that's not the way it was supposed to be killed. So therefore, we view it as an act of shchita that we jumped ahead and didn't do what was supposed to be done. They asked the question, that's what they say. Rashi himself is. Rashi's not going to say it. Yeah, I'm talking about it. Yes. It's like an Issa. It's like an Issa. They're not nourishing from each other, unless it's living on the tree.
Cut it in half.
Cut it in half, like you would cut the Issa in half. Again, that's, you know, that's how fast you eat it. You know what I mean? It's fast.
Is Issa size for human being a shchita?
No, it is not. It's an interesting point you're making. Misa Sayef is not shchita in the sense that we go through all the technicalities of shchita. We don't have to check the knife, and we don't have to slice it as opposed to chopping, and we don't have to have all those halachas. But it's the severing of the trachea and the esophagus from the front side. So shchita is severing the trachea and the esophagus from the front side. So whether it does Misa Sayef require that the Shaykh stand there and check his knife? No, it does not. They're doing all the things, but Sayef does not preclude do that. Sayef doesn't say you don't can't use a kosher knife.
They're talking about a chila here for the hema. In other words, you did check the knife.
That's what I'm saying, right. That's what I'm saying. See, Sayef does not preclude that. You're right that Sayef doesn't need that. But there's nothing wrong in using a kosher knife for Zayas.
No,
we wouldn't. We use a sword. And that's because it's more convenient.
It could have been kosher shchita.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
If you would do row of the kodeshet, that the prince chayav Zayas, right? And all you do is cut the robe of those two.
I don't know. I would assume it's good enough, but I have no proof. Whether he's chayav the chayav mitzvah of Sayef, he wants to know. So that's the Gemara Vayit. Boy, Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda asked the Shaila. Behemus Irin Idachas, Maud at the Sani Bashchita Lutar Midei Nevela. Okay, what happens if a guy, the law is as follows. The guy has a Shor HaNisgul, Asar Bana, and if he shechts it, it's still Asar Bana. Shor HaNisgul means it's a Shor that's chayav skila. It's Asar Bana. If he shechts it, it's still Asar Bana. But if he shechts it, it's not nevel anymore. The shechita accomplished that it's not tameh. Let me explain. An animal that dies naturally is metame people, makes people tame, makes people into a rishon l'tumah, which means they have to go to the mikvah and wait till the night till they eat truma or till they do anything that requires tahara. An animal that's shechted, even if it's treif, even if it's not edible, but the act of shechita removes the tumah. That's the halacha.
All animals or kosher animals?
Kosher animals. That's the halacha. Here we have an animal of Eir Nidachas that was shechted. Now, the question is, by Shar Niskel, if it was shechted, it would be Asabanoa, but it wouldn't be Nevela. It was shechted. How about by Eir Nidachas, if it was shechted, would it be Nevela or not? And the Gemara explains itself. Meaning, this is not an act of shechita, this is an act of killing. It's not a half and half. It's a totally Eir Nidachas. The guy shechted it, he's killing it. That's not called an act of shechita. I don't make even the shechita, he did do the requirements of shechita, mahani lo shechita, my teku. Now, from this Gemara, it's mashma, that we are questioning whether the act of shechita is the act of killing or not. When a guy shechts an Eir Nidachas, is he doing cherev, and therefore it's not an act of shechita, or is it not? Which Rashi in the previous Gemara seemed to assume that it is an act of killing, and that's the Ron's question on Rashi. But Rashi assumes in the Gemara before that the reason we should say that that animal that's half and half is usher is because half was shechted and half was not shechted. Says the Ron, isn't that the next Gemara Shaila? And it's the same Rav Chisda. That means he didn't know. So why are you assuming that he knew? And when in the next Gemara, he asked that as a Shaila. That's why the Ron doesn't like Rashi's shot in the Gemara before. Rashi said the Shaila was half is shechted and half is killed. Is that therefore it's Asa Bana. That's what the Gemara said before. So why is it half killed? Because it's shechting is Eir Nidachas. Then the next Gemara wants to know, is this called a shechita or is this called killing vis-a-vis Nevela? Now, if you just told me a minute ago that it's considered an act of killing, not an act of shechita, so what isn't this the Gemara Shaila now? So now Quentin points out that Rashi obviously holds that vis-a-vis eating, it's definitely not an act of shechita. Vis-a-vis Nevela, perhaps it is an act of shechita. That's the Gemara Shaila. That's what they want to say. But let's read Rashi inside. Isa kolayim is the boy public boy. You can always split it up. Ain chelik shir nidachas uru boy. There's no mixture. Loishna shach the mishchit loishna cut the mikdo. The bein mishchit the bein bariga karina bein lefichareb. It's called the picharev. That fill the shach the misa baalmi. He's just killing it. Lema hani midi doesn't help at all. I don't believe picharev had a shleik derech shchita. Maybe the Torah doesn't want shchita. Have a derech shchita mahani lo b'tayim dein nevela. Then he to lachila itzra. True, it's the usher lachila. This I know who. Have a tahani lo b'tayim dein nevela. The shchita should help remove from the nevela. So Rashi seems to be learning that the Shaila of the Gemara is a guy doing lefi charev when he does shechita, at least vis-a-vis nevela, or is it still an act of shechita that can remove nevela?
Before a guy did shechita at all, what is the lefi charev means? What, a sword?
Yeah,
a sword, and what, also chopping the head,
severing the simanim from the front. That's what the halach of sayat is.
Even by behemoth.
That's what Sayyid is. Now, severance of the Samana of the front does not require shechita, by the way. One can chop a head off from the front.
That's
what I'm saying. Now, walkers don't applaud.
If it sure takes it off when it's not the proper misa, why wouldn't it take it for sure off when it is the proper misa?
Because it's the proper misa, it takes away the act of shechita. It turns the act from an act of shechita into an act of killing. Shechita takes it off. Is this a shechita or is this a killing? If it's not the proper misa, then it's not a killing. It's a shechita. Because the Torah didn't tell you to kill it this way. Here the Torah told you to kill it this way. You were doing exactly what the Torah told you to do. So it's not shechita. It removes the shame shechita from it. Something my advice. Vay Rav Yosef. Seir Nashim Tzidkani Esmahu. What happens to the hair of the ladies that don't get killed? Right? We're not the ladies that are tzitzkaniyos, that they are not married to Avdi Avedah Zara. By the way, it's a machlokes rishayim. I've been assuming one way. Whether we kill the wives of the Avdi Avedah Zara is a machlokes rishayim. But let's assume that we do, so that means the wives of the ones that didn't serve Avedah Zara. And we assume that we don't, means all women who didn't serve Avedah Zara. What happens to their hair? Do we cut it off and burn it? Or do we leave it on top of them and they walk out with their hair intact? So the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hadi Rishayas Aser, those that we kill, is their hair usher? Tikbites the seraphtics, meaning, do we burn their hair? Tikbites the seraphtics him. Mishayin the mechutzer al kvitzu usreifa. Yatzazesh the mechutzer tchlishu al kvitzu usreifa. There's that halacha that says the bayur nidachas, only movable possessions are burned. Anything that's attached to the ground is not burnt, because the Torah said, gather and burn. Anything that needs more than gathering and burning is not done. For instance, if something is attached to a building, we burn down the buildings because we burn down the city. But let's say there would be a possession that's not a building, that's attached to the ground. Right? So, and it would not, let's say, it wouldn't be burned. We don't cut it off and bring it to burn in the center of the city. It's considered let's say it's out of town. We wouldn't go and cut it down and bring it to the city, because the Torah said gather and burn. So we wouldn't take the hair off a lady, burn anyway, because that would require cutting and burning. We don't cut anything by Yerni Dachas. We just gather and burn. Why would you have a Shiloh on the hair? Look to Rashi. Yes. You don't understand what? We don't burn the people. We check the people. We cut the people. The question is, would we cut off the hair and burn the hair? And the answer is, we would not. So why would you think you do it to the Tzitzkanias? Meaning, basically what the Gemara is trying to prove is that anything that has to be removed from somewhere is not called, it's not the mitzvah burning. So why would you think that you take the hair off a from lady who didn't serve a Avodah Zarah and burn it?
Well, what do we do with the people that are killed?
We bury them. It's Asabana, you wouldn't be able to cut the hair. It's Asabana.
Don't anticipate me again now, Rabbi.
Well,
Rabbi, would we take the gold fillings out of their teeth?
No. It's Asabana.
These are the ladies. Who are the ladies?
Again, the Gemara in Shiloh was, do we cut off the hair of the Nashim Tzidkariyas? The women who are not getting killed.
Or not getting killed. So why don't we...
Again, the question was, let's backtrack. The Gemara knows that the hair of those that are getting killed are getting buried. That's not a shiloh. Question is there a mitzvah of strafe on them? All possessions have to be burned. Is that considered a possession that needs to be burned? And the answer is no, because that's not a possession that needs to be burned. Is it
the human body?
That's the question. Is it part of the human body, or since it's usually cut off, people take haircuts, not considered a part of the human body, it's considered a possession. And the Gemara is proving that you're right, that it's not considered a possession, it is considered part of the human body. That's exactly what the Gemara is trying to prove. People don't sell their arms to be cut off. People do sell their hair, right? Hair is something that people remove from their body at intervals. So the question over here is...
Fingernails are cut, but they're part of the body.
Again, see, we're dealing with a Havamina of the Gemara that the Gemara is slugging up right away. I agree with you, it's a difficult Havamina. So again, the Gemara is Shaila, Maya Rav Yaisa, Ser Nashim Tzitkanias, Mahu, Amar Rav Ahadi Rishoyas Aser, that if it would be Rishoyas, it would be Aser, Tikva Tzisaraptik Sib, Vishayna Mechutra Kvitsa Sreifa, Yatsa Zesha Mechutra Kvitsa Sreifa. We have to do an act here. El Amar Rav Bepeya Nachris, Shaitel. The sheitloch of the Nashim Tzidkariyas. We don't take their clothing off. Person that leaves with his clothing intact. Sheitel is an item of clothing. Why would we take the sheitel off? What happened was, this, the way Rashi learns, this sheitel was hanging on a peg. Now, women put their sheitloch off on very often. Therefore, it's considered part of her, even though she's not wearing it at the time. Or do we say it's like the rest of her wardrobe, that even though the items, clothing she's wearing, she walks out with, the rest of her wardrobe gets burned? Is this part of a wardrobe, or is it sheitel more than a wardrobe? Since she's normally, she puts it on all the time, even though now she's not wearing it, but it's something she commonly wears, therefore kalvusha dami, it's viewed as her clothing. Let's read Rashi first. Are you simple? It's not true. You have to cut it up. braided hair, the alma, the world, choice in the night that's made from beauty. The Rabbi literally, the Rabbi Yisrael, the Tzani is happy. The Chubra Begupa, she nicks her butt, it's tied onto her body, meaning she's wearing it. The Gupa Dami, I'm saying, she's sorry for my bush, Mishalayim, we don't wear, burn their clothing. Shari Tzani is saying, Kach ain, sorry for Isaac Adil, we wouldn't burn that shekel. The Talib is sifted, the Talib is a gadil be yesed on a peg. The ink shurim ba'achshim, she's not wearing it now. Hilim the isle of an apka regila lakaish retarmet tadr, she's always tying it on. Avish like the shwasi achshav, kamachim shehesham didn't come out b'shalah, wherever it is, it's considered part of her clothing. The choshayta daitalei, ukshar ma'bushim dam, it's considered like other pieces of clothing. I want to point out that the, obviously, Maish is right, that she only has one shaytub, because if she had two, obviously she doesn't wear, unless she wears one all the time and once for one pair periodically. The second thing here is that the Riyad Ramah is a different shot in the Gemara. He learned that the Gemara means that the women used to have the sheitel dang when they didn't wear it, they had something come off one of the items of clothing, and they used to wear it, carry it with them, even when they weren't wearing it. It wasn't hanging on a peg in the wall. It was hanging on a peg that she was carrying, meaning she took it with her as she went along. Does that make it an item of clothing? I also want to point out that Rashi and Erchon says that the people that left Yirni Dachas left Arumim. So there's a Machshayla what Arumim means. Arumim usually means undressed. So someone to say it's a Machlekes HaSugyas, that the Sugya and Erchon learned that they took away the clothing as they left, and they had to put on someone else's clothing from out of town. And others want to learn that Rashi just means Arumim means figuratively, meaning they had nothing left except the clothes on their back. So either way, just pointed it out. Yes?
Does that
stated
in the name of
Rava
mean that there's another Amora who holds
not that I know of. Not that I know of. I don't know.
I mean,
what was
the
shetel
on a wedding ring?
If she wears the wedding ring, why is
the shetel
more on?
There's so many things that you wear often, you just wear all the time, but it's.
I guess dresses they wear some one and some another and a third and a fourth and a fifth. You're right, a wedding ring is not considered a beged, it's considered a tachshit. It's a different thing completely. So you don't wear a wedding ring is not an item of clothing. A shekel is an item of clothing.
That would be burned.
Yeah, wedding ring would be burned. Even if she's wearing it, she probably would be burned. Take it off, burn it. Which means, I mean, what are you trying to gain by that? Is I'm trying to say.
You can't take it with you.
The Tegu means we don't know the halacha.
So
it's a subject to rise to lechay and go lechomer. But that's not because we know. When they had it, they probably knew that it's in Hedron the Paskin. We don't know what the halacha is. That doesn't mean they didn't know.
More does not know.
Right, we don't. The Gemara is written hundreds of years after the possibility of Irni Dachas ever happening. It's like saying, in 1624, what would they have done? The people in 1624 had a Sanhedrin. Now we don't.
So what would happen if between that time and now, there would have been a Yirni Dachas? What would they
if there's no Yirni Dachas, once there's no Sanhedrin HaGadol. It's impossible. 40 years before the Korban, Sanhedrin HaGadol closed shop. That means, and this is written 400 years after the Korban. So there's a 440-year gap between when Sanhedrin existed and when the Gemara was written. That's the Gemara by Itam is Koshla L'Tikba Itzol Teich L'Chayva. Tan Rabban. Ein La Rechayv Ein Nasi Yirni Dachas. Dibri Rabbi Shemal. Rabbi Shemal says if it doesn't have a town square it can't be Yirni Dachas. Technicality. Kiva Yirma Ein La Rechayv Eisel La Rechayv, which is what we had in our Mishnah. Ma'atim Iplugi Ma'atim Rechayv Imi Karamashma. It has to be there at the time when they paskin. You can add one on later. Rashi, Rechayv Mikara Mashmer, Rechayv Shaila Metchila V'loy Shaisin LaRechayv Ashrav. Not that they make one now. The Hagdash is Shema Yivdu, and the Hagdash is redeemed. Tana Rabbanan, Hayibak Kachim, what if they in the city there was Kachim? Kachim is Bayach Yemusu. Karbanas are killed; they are allowed to die, meaning they're starved to death or fed things that will make them die quickly. But they do not get killed with Irni Dachas because it's not becoming that Korbanos should be killed in the same way that the rest of Irni Dachas is killed. Rashi, Hayyabai Kachim is back in Eilus and Ashramas Shor Rishoyim. Eilus and Ashramas of the Rishoyim Shabbataycha. Now notice Rashi says Shor Rishoyim Bataycha. Mashma the tzaddikim's korbanos were fine. Only the Rishon's korbanos is a problem, and the Gemara is going to discuss this later. The Hidul like Karina Bar is called Behemta L'Vicharev. We don't qualify this as called Behemta L'Vicharev Loi Behemti. It's not Behemta. Ela Behem is Shemayim. It's not his. Ela Miyisusahu, but it's disgusting. L'Hakub Korbanos Shor Rishonim Alolu Shor Otchum. It is disgusting to bring korbanos from such kind of people. Helkuk Yamusu, Kain Tanaisa L'Kipa, we bring it into this room. U'machila Naisa Sairim, and we feed it barley, Ashakrasin of Kassel, or stomach bus. Now, fill the Dimea Master, even their monetary value is usher, can come on like the Gemara will explain.
Tzaddik is just anybody that doesn't do. Anybody who doesn't do Avodah Zarah is considered tzaddik.
Right. Tzaddik means someone who didn't serve Avodah Zarah. Russia means someone who served Avodah Zarah. Kachem
is Be'at. Kachem is Be'at means Russia, he was Russia, and he's doomed to death. And he decided to tshuva?
No. Kachem is Be'at means he's a guy that lives in the city. That served the Avodah Zarah, but at the same time, he liked to bring Kabbalah to the Rabbani Shlom also.
And Gosh Baruch says, I don't want him.
That's right.
Do I want his tshuva?
He doesn't want his Kabbalah.
Do I want his tshuva?
And Rabbani Shlom loves tshuva. I write to the tshuva, I say it three times a day. Rabbani Shlom desires tshuva. I write to the tshuva. No, Zevach Rishon Teva. By the way, even if he does tshuva, he can't bring this carb. Because at the point that he was a Russia, he couldn't bring the carbon.
That's so what
he, no, the carbon gets nitcha anyway. That's a machlokes, it's really Rabban Rav Yechonah, but it's not for now.
When it says Kohen Alas and Sponsor,
yes.
What is that?
They send Kabbalah. They don't have the same restrictions you didn't have.
Even
fresh Gemara
Kohen.
Correct.
They're not considered
Shoah. Correct.
What?
You mean
they
can bring Kabbalahs. We can only bring Kabbalahs if we're not Mumrim. There's a difference in the requirement. No, it means not Rishon for Kabbalah's purposes. That's what Mesh meant. I don't think he meant that they're not Rishon. I
want to make sure.
Kachem et Gabayis is Yivdu. Kachem et Gabayis is redeemed. And then the money is destroyed, but the animal itself. I'm sorry, no. The animal is then used, whatever you want to use it. We mentioned this in Machlokes, just Rishayim, but that's Rashi's opinion. Utruma is Yirakavu. Truma is allowed to rot. Ma'isheni ve'akisvi akoy deshignezu. Ma'isheni and mezuzas sifrikayir and all that is put into shemus. Shimon aimer behemta v'loy behemus b'chaimer ma'iser. Shimon dashes a different plastic, and the Gemara will explain what he means to say. L'kamam mafarish timer. Rashi says that behemta means not the behemus b'chara ma'iser. Shlala prat l'kesav hegdish v'kesav ma'iser. And Shlala says you don't destroy money that belongs to Hegdish and money that belongs to Meisher Sheni. Omer Mar, Hayubah Kachim at Kachim is Beach Yamusu. Kachim is Beach get killed. So the question is, Mama Yamusu. They don't belong to the people here in Nidachas. These are Kabbalahs. Yiru Achi Yisravu. Now, they themselves cannot be brought. Granted. We can't bring with people's Kabbalahs that are in that status. We understand that. But there's another option. Let it graze till it gets a mum. The Yimkuru, and we can sell it. The Yipu Dmeim Lundava, and we'll put the money into the box. Hegdish had a box. That whenever the Mizbeach was empty, the Tzibur brought Kurbanas to keep the Mizbeach going. So why can't we put the money into that box? These are animals that belong to Hegdish, can be used as a carbon. But at the same time, we don't have to use them as a carbon. We can wait till it gets a mum, sell them, lose the money and give it to Hegdish. Why should Hegdish take a loss because it is Rishon? Granted, you can bring these korbanos, but you can still use the money. We don't want any Russia's money there in the base to be brought as a carbon. This carbon, even though we're not bringing the money, the carbon itself, but we're going to use the money that we get from this carbon, that's an abomination. Even their money is usher. We will continue a Merchishim tomorrow.
Yes. When the person arose